Good evening, guys. My name's Garth. It's a pleasure to be with you guys tonight. I just think I've heard it, people speak about people groups that don't know the Lord. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. But prisoners are also a lost people group. And it's quite amazing to be able to go and work with some of these guys. And just the blackout of face and stuff is just because of parole conditions and all kinds of bureaucracy and stuff. But these are really good guys that aren't involved in crime anymore, that are getting their driver's licenses, going on courses, getting equipped to be plumbers or solar stuff. We don't pay for all of that, but Faith Promise funds eventually end up there. But just as things stand tonight, I'm first going to share with you what the Lord has placed on my heart for tonight, and then we're going to have some time near the end to just speak about Faith Promise. You'll see that you would have come in with your pledge cards and pens and stuff like that on the chairs. So I encourage you that keep your heart open and just listen to the Lord. He wants to give you a promise, ultimately, and He wants you to apply your faith to that promise. So I think it's apt that we flow into the sermon part of our time together, and that you can apply that tonight even in a very practical way. There's no coercing here or any funny business. It's really, tonight I'm just going to be speaking mainly on the difference between faith and hope. The difference between faith and hope. And I thought that I'd start with a story, but before then I'll just pray for us. And so Father, we thank you so much that you are a good Father. And that everything that goes on, everything that goes on in this building, in our lives, this whole, all the things that we do, all the goings on, ultimately, it's all about you as our Father and us being your children. And I pray tonight that your heart would come through me and that we would remember that, yes, there's the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few and there's a lot of work to do and all those kind of things. But ultimately, this journey and this relationship culminates in you being our Father and us being your children. And we thank you for that. When all the doing's done, we get to spend eternity with you. And I just encourage anyone here, that image that I saw about plugging your life, plugging aspects of your life. Some of us have the privilege of plugging our aspects of our lives into Jesus as our source, as our center. But if you aren't plugged into life, then you won't have life. And I just encourage anyone that is here tonight, it's not that you have to do it tonight or whatever, but if the Lord is knocking on the door of your heart, open it to Him. He wants to come in. And the encouragement there is that, shucks, you know, be plugged into life. Because if you're not plugged into life, then you don't have life. But I thought I would start with sharing a story with you guys. Jesus was an awesome storyteller. And he often, because of the things that he did as well, we have great stories that we can refer to. And recently I've seen the power of storytelling, more than presentations, more than fancy speeches or anything like that, but really being able to tell a story well. And you can judge me or critique me or whatever, but I'll try and read it as well as I can from the scriptures. But if you've got your Bible here or if you've got it on your phone, I'd like to ask you if you could please turn to Matthew chapter 14. Verse 22 to 33. And tonight I really just, the image I have in my heart is just taking a needle and a thread and literally just threading a few scriptures together to just give you a foundation for what I'm going to say tonight. So I really encourage you, just journey with me in the short time that we have. But I'm just gonna start reading from Matthew chapter 14, from verse 22 through to verse 33. Just to say this, I don't know what the time difference is, the chronological time difference was between the events leading up to this, but one step back was Jesus feeding the 5,000, and another step back was John the Baptist being beheaded. So I don't know if it was a matter of days. I don't know if it was a matter of weeks or months. I don't know this. Jesus spent three and a half years on the earth walking as a man. And so we only have very limited accounts of his time here on the earth. But so just on the wake of that, those things kind of lead up to this situation. It says there in verse 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So actually, obviously, that means that this is directly after feeding the 5,000. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. So you can imagine that scene. Jesus has literally just fed 5,000 people. And according to the counts, that's usually they count the men only. So that's not including the women and the children. And so Jesus has literally fed 5,000 people. They've had the loaves and the fishes and all those things. They've passed it. People have eaten. And he tells his disciples, guys, get into the boat, head through to the other side. They probably didn't really understand, you know, why are you staying here? Why are we going? What's happening with that? He dismisses the crowds, the multitudes, and he sends them on their way. He's fed them. He sent them on their way. They've got enough strength for the journey. And then he heads up to the mountain to be alone. Can you picture that? It's evening. He's somewhere in Israel, and he's just going up onto the mountain to be alone. That's a place I enjoy as well. I think we all long for that through the craziness of our lives. It's just that thing to say, okay, I dismiss you, I've dealt with this, I've done this, but I'm just going to spend some time to go up and to be alone. Then it continues in verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea. Now, as far as I understand, this is now the Sea of Galilee. And it was tossed by waves, for the wind was contrary. The scriptures were a bit, you know, funny. The New King James Version says boisterous. So I thought I'd read you. Well, I am actually reading from the New King James Version. Let me read to you from the NIV. Sorry. It's a bit of a funny one. And it says in verse 24, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And then shortly before dawn, that was a long time. This is now in the evening. Jesus has sent his disciples to cross the sea, and he has dismissed the crowds. He's gone up onto the mountain. He spent the entire night there alone. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Wow. He didn't just walk around. He just decided, you know what, the shortest point between here and there is just to go across. And so that's what I'm going to do. So you can imagine that the sun hasn't come up yet. The sun hasn't dawned yet. It's still below the horizon. The disciples have been out on the lake the entire night. Obviously, it's that twilight phase, you know, that phase where I really love those moments of the day, the beginning and the end of the day, kind of the twilight hours there. And Jesus decides, you know what, I'm just going to take the shortest route. And he starts walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. You can imagine. There's this figure walking on water. I mean, yeah, all kinds of things will come to your mind. You're not going to think that you've never seen something like this before. They cry out, it's a ghost. And they were terrified. I wonder who fell to their knees and screamed. You know, you get these lack of mana that, you know, they walk around and whatever, and then as soon as you give them a fright, they're like, ah, and they fall to the floor. You know, I wonder which of the disciples did that, you know. But you can imagine, these guys, it says here that they were terrified. And I didn't have time to go into the Greek and whatever, but I mean, that's a strong word, you know. They weren't just like, you know, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, crying out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. So out of all of them, this guy Peter, he's like, what is going on here right now? Like, shucks, he's obviously, he's seeing his Lord doing something that they've probably never even conceived of this before. And his response immediately is, I want to do what you do. It's like, wow. I mean, Peter has a lot of revelations throughout the scriptures. You know, you are the Son of God. the Messiah, you know, when the disciples leave him after saying, you need to eat my flesh and blood, he turns to the disciples and says to them, are you also going to leave? And then Peter says, well, hey, we've got nowhere to go. You have the words of life. We're going to hang around with you, you know. Even though you say weird stuff, you know, we're going to still stay around. And yeah, there's the same Peter in the boat with all the people being terrified. And he just says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And the crux of what I want to share with you tonight is coming now. Come, he said. Verse 29, come. Peter has just cried out to him. His mind is not, it's trying to make sense. And the first thing to come out of his mouth is this, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come on the water, to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. They're in the boat. The scripture says that Peter gets out of the boat. And the thing that really stands out for me is that he didn't so much get out and stand on the water. He got out and stood on the word that Jesus said, come. He didn't so much get out of the boat and stand on water. He got out of the boat and he stood on the word of his Lord. And he stood. He didn't sink. Have you ever seen something like that before? Hey, even in the Jesus films, they've probably got like a little plank underneath the water, you know, where it's like, you know, Jesus is like, yeah. But just think of the dynamics of walking on a moving, it's like walking on one of those, it's not an escalator, what's that, travelator? That thing in the airports, we get on, you're like, oh, whoa, man, I'm, you know? Can you imagine walking on something like that? But it's also waves. It's saying that the waves were like rowdy, man. They were, you know. So now Jesus is like, can you imagine that thing? Like, I don't, how was he walking on this water? Like, and there's waves, you know. And can you see, I don't know if there were sharks or what, you know, but he's, maybe Peter thought he saw a fin or something. I don't know. Peter gets out of the boat. And he steps onto the word of his Lord. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he didn't sink immediately. He started to sink. He cried out. He said, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Now, I don't know how far Jesus was from the boat. The scripture doesn't tell us. But it seems like he was there immediately as Peter was sinking. And as soon as he cried out, Lord, save me, Jesus laid hold of him and saved him. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And the first things that come out of Jesus' mouth, the first words are, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You of little faith, why did you doubt? I know that the usual scripture we use is Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, and I would love to read it to you tonight, but I really felt that this said more than enough about faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1 speaks about it, that faith is the very substance. Can you take hold of your chair underneath you? That object that is keeping you up, can you feel the substance of it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the conviction or the evidence. I have it. I can show you. I have the evidence of that which I cannot see. That is faith. And so Peter steps out onto the word of his Lord saying, come. And he was able to walk on water for a time. It's the only record we have of someone else other than Jesus walking on water, as far as I know. Everyone else, the waters part and they walk through on land, but Peter walks on water. But as soon as he sinks, Jesus catches him. And this seems to be a whole thing around faith. The first words out of Jesus' mouth is, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Why didn't you trust me? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. They saw him in action. And so tonight, the thing that I really had on my heart is this thing between faith and hope. I hear a lot of people talk and say, you know what, times are a bit tough, but I need a new vehicle, and you know, I have to get insurance on top of this vehicle as well, and then I need to maintain the vehicle or whatever, but I'm stepping out in faith. Hey? You know, there's this guy or there's this lady that, you know, there really seems to be something happening, and there's chemistry and there's things, but I think we need to really make this thing official, you know? I'm going to step out in faith, you know? And you can think of various scenarios, various things that we get ourselves into, and often we get ourselves into tricky situations by stepping out in faith. And the thing that I really felt strongly to share with you tonight is that if you do not have a word from the Lord to step onto like Peter, then you are actually stepping out in hope. You're not stepping out in faith. It's the first words out of Jesus' mouth, you of little faith. He was teaching him about faith. Lord, if it is you, come to me. Or let me come to you, sorry. And Jesus says, come. And so I really believe that many of us are stepping out in hope, fooling ourselves. We don't realize it, that we're not actually stepping out in faith. And my question to people often when I hear those different scenarios is, what has the Lord said about this thing? Not what do I hope he will say about it. Often we get into these financial things or student loans, whatever it may be. There's always some kind of a catch somewhere. And following the Lord is always going to involve trusting him who knows what lies ahead and stepping into the unknown. And it gets tricky. And so often, because of pressure and because we have to make decisions in life and certain things, we say, I'm going to step out in faith, you know? But actually, you're just stepping out onto water. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to walk on water at a swimming pool as a kid, hey? I mean, you take this huge run up. And you're just like, yo, man, I just need to make it to the other side. Eh? And then you just go for it. And you're like, and when you get to the other side, you're like, hurr! You're like, you didn't make it, you know? You have to try and get a run up to try and run across on the water, you know? But still, you're sinking. Apparently, the only time you can walk on water or run on water is when a shark is trying to chow you. So I really feel that the encouragement tonight from the Lord is to say, I'm your father. I know what's best for you. I know that there's pressures in life. I know that there's difficult situations in life. I know that there's things that you want. But you're not stepping out in faith if you have not heard from me. If you do not have my word, then you are only stepping out in hope. It's a wish that you have. You're hoping that the Lord will come through. There's no substance to it. There's no conviction of what you do not see. It is not faith. Stepping out in hope is different to stepping out in faith. So, Garth, that's all fair and well. Now I feel really crappy. I'm in a situation where I can't. Sorry. Feeling really bad. And I'm in a situation of where I've stepped out in hope. I haven't necessarily stepped out in faith. I don't know what my father has told me to do in this instance or this situation or this time. And it was so interesting how the Lord has just laid a few things on my heart. Like I said, I'm just weaving a bit of a thread together, some scriptures together. And I thought to read to you from Psalm 29. That ultimately faith is about hearing Papa's voice and living according to it. And I just want to read Psalm 29 for you. And it goes like this. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's also a great thing, is that the Lord gets the glory when we step out in faith, because he told us. He said it's going to be like this, and it was like that. He calls forth that which is not as though it is. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare. Think about autumn. Think about winter. God has instituted those by his word. And in his temple, everyone says glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And I just felt to share this with you. This is kind of my metaphor for what it means to follow the Lord. And my metaphor for it is it's a boxing ring. It's a boxing ring. And we've all seen those movies where, you know, the guy's sitting in the change room and he's got his wraps on, you know, and he's like, yeah, yo, this is a big fight and whatever, you know, and he's getting ready and he's psyched up and everything. And then the time comes. And then he walks down that long aisle into the spotlights and you can hear the crowd and he gets into the ring. But if you're stepping out in hope, you've got no ropes around your ring. But if you are stepping out in faith, like Peter, Lord, how many come to you on the water? And Jesus says, come. You say, boom. Hey, I'm not going to sink. And so the boxing ring is an interesting place because you're getting into a fight. And if any of us are willing to follow the Lord, we're going to go into dark places. We're going to engage with broken people. We're going to go where it's not comfortable to go, and ultimately there's going to be a fight. And if you don't have the word of the Lord, if you're doing good things, not the things that your father tells you to do, and that's the cool thing about Peter, he's like, I see what my Lord is doing. I want to do that. Then you're stepping into a ring without ropes. And if I've learned anything in this life, it's that when the Lord calls you to something, you're going to get a beating somewhere, somehow. And if you do not have his word, you're going to fall out of that ring, and you may never get back in. And I think maybe some of you are sitting in that position tonight. And we'll have a time tonight just to address that. But ultimately, the word of the Lord are the ropes of the ring. And so you fight the good fight that your father has called you to. He's in your corner every 2 to 3 minutes. You get a break, you get to sit down, and he gives you the strategy, and he says to you, I've called you to this ring, I've called you to this fight. When your opponent drops his right hand, I want you to give him your right, you know? And you start to get the strategy, and you're with the Lord in that space. You get time to rest, to recover. But eventually, that round is up, and you got to get in, and you got to fight and continue. And if you do not have the word of the Lord, when you start getting a bit of a beating, you've got nothing to lean back onto. And perhaps you find yourself in that situation. Maybe you're terrified. You see you're on that edge. Maybe you've already fallen out of the ring. Maybe you've grown disillusioned with hearing God's voice. Maybe you don't know what to do in the situation that you're in. And so what I would like to say is that faith is completely different to hope. That ultimately hope is a component of faith. But the encouragement is, my children, don't step out in hope. Wait for me. Listen to me. Seek me. Hear my voice. When you have my voice, when you hear me say, come, come into the situation. Go into the situation. Don't go into the situation. Say no. Say yes. Do it now. Do it later. That's when you're able to step onto the word of the Lord and walk in faith. It says that faith pleases God. Not hope, faith, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. So I want you to hold on to that. Is that okay? Can you hold on to that? I'm going to just change a bit of a gear, and then we're going to have a time of ministry at the end. So that you can think about it, I want to call forward those who have gotten into financial trouble for stepping out in hope instead of faith. If you find yourself in a situation where you were stepping out in wish, like a hope, you know, like I really hope the Lord's going to come through for me without previously having his word, and you're stuck in a financial situation, your Father wants to teach you, like Peter. He wants to teach you something. And the encouragement would be to come forward for that. Secondly is for those who have been hurt for stepping out by being bold, but not sure if it was God that spoke to you. Often we take on that boldness and we say, you know what, I'm not really sure, but I'm going to do it. And then in the end, you feel like a pawpaw, or you feel hurt, or, you know, and you grow a bit disillusioned. Sorry, man, I'd say random words. Sorry, guys. And just the third group is for those who actually mistrust Papa's voice. You're not so sure about this thing anymore, about the journey of hearing God's voice. And it really is a journey. And if you don't feel like any of those things really speak to you, but you feel like you want to come forward, I want to encourage you guys to do that. But obviously, it's faith promise season as well. And that's why I asked you, if you can just keep your heart open. You saw the video there. If you were here last week, if you've been here journeying with us for years, months, you would have seen that Faith Promise is part of our community here. It is not necessarily our missions fund, but for lack of better words, that's what it's about. And so I would just like to ask you guys, during this time, the idea is that, I'm just going to read through some of the things here, that this is just a one-year pledge that runs for 12 months, from October to November 2017. So, sorry, from November this year, it will run through to October 2017. And if anyone was not here last Sunday or would still like to pledge, there are pledge cards available, and they're on your seats, but there's also volunteers who have pens and pledge cards if you don't have them. Guys, all you have to do is to simply fill in this front portion here. That's the main portion. And if you turn the card over to the back side of it, then there's just a few blocks there that literally just says debit order, internet, credit card, or cash, or check. And you just tick that box and you can fill in some of the details. Sorry. You can fill in some of the details if you're able to write quickly and know them. The most important stuff is the front, just your basic details, and then just to sign any of those blocks there. All you do is complete those things, and then also, if there are any old debit orders, they fall away. So if you had debit orders for this current year running, they fall away, and you would have to just renew that, and the simple way to do it is by filling in this card. So the reason I asked you in the beginning is just to keep your heart open. If we can just take a moment or two and just say, Father, how much funds do you want to channel to me in order to channel it through me? He wants to develop us. I don't know if any of you would have seen our testimony, the testimony of Gabs and I with our Faith Promise journey. It was really a tremendous journey, and we're so stoked about it. The Lord gave us quite a crazy amount, and we were just able to apply our faith to what he told us to give. And he came through over and above that. So much so that even this year, the ultimate pledge was $5.5 million in the 2015-2016 period, and the income to date is $5,855,072. And that's 107% of the pledge that has already been received. So he's an over and above Father. And he's got no problem to get money to you if he can get it through you. Can you live that way? That's kind of the way that he's encouraging us to live. And so if we can just take a moment to just wait on him. If you haven't heard him already, just take a moment or two just to wait on him and just to hear what he says. And so, Father, I pray that tonight that you would show us the difference between hope and faith, and that we can base our pledges on your word to us, not just the hope of what we want to give, but to base it on faith, to base it on your word to us. So I just pray that you would speak to your people and even ourselves as we wait on you, Lord. I encourage married couples as well. Just pray together. And just ask the Lord for that. I was fortunate because we got the same amount. I don't know what happens if you don't get the same amount, two to go. But I've heard that, Gab says add it together. But I suggest maybe husbands go with what your wife hears. Just take a few moments, and when you feel ready, you can just start filling in your card. What we're going to do is we're going to pass these little plastic tubs against the wall there. Don't be in too much of a rush. Obviously, not everyone writes at the same speed. But if you can pass those plastic tubs down your row to this center aisle for these guys here, and then the people sitting on this aisle on the middle block, if you can take your plastic tubs and then just pass them across to this aisle, and then the people sitting here to my right, if you guys can just take your tubs from the wall and also pass it to the center aisle. And the volunteers will collect it from you guys in each aisle, and then they'll be taking it through to Natasha at the back there. She works with IMD, Impact Mobilization Division. The little card, the little perforated section on the bottom is for you to write down your pledge amounts. You can use it as a bookmark. You can stick it on your fridge. I really enjoyed the calendars, the magnetic calendars that they gave us last year, because we could literally, with a cokey pen, just mark off, we didn't get anything this month, or hey, we got some bucks this month, and really just track the journey. But you can tear that little portion off and keep it for yourself. Also, if you're not keen on doing any of the writing, then you can also SMS your pledge. And all you're going to simply do is send your name and the amount to 083-50-111-60. That's 083-50-111-60. And if you want to take a bit more time, feel free to go and drop off your pledge cards at the reception desk as well. There's no pressure for you to necessarily do it right now. And I'm sure a lot of people, I don't know how many of you would have done it, but we waited on the Lord a bit, to really hear from Him. So if you also want to take it home and bring it back next week, then you're more than welcome. I just want to pray for this, because you guys have just taken up the Lord on an invitation to say, I've spoken to you. Now, will you persevere? Will you trust me to deliver on my promise to you? That's ultimately what this fund is about. You guys learn how to grow in faith, and we are able to do the work. Even you guys, if you feel keen on stepping up to that, then you can do the work based on those funds. We need money to make things happen, and that's the two aspects of faith promise: growing in your faith personally, but also contributing to the advancement of the kingdom of God through your finances. Is everybody okay? You guys sent your stuff through. Anybody still need to put their card in the box? Okay. If you've still got it with you, feel free to leave it at reception or bring it through to the IMD office in the week, or bring it next week Sunday. But I really trust that you've heard the word of the Lord, that you're not stepping out onto water, but that you're stepping out onto the word of the Lord. Amen? So with that, with the time that we have left, I would just like to call anyone forward. For those who have gotten into financial trouble for stepping out in hope instead of faith, if you're in that situation, the Lord is not angry with you, laughing at you, saying, like Peter, he was there immediately. He took hold of him. Yes, he was trying to teach him something and said, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? And even in this instance now, maybe you feel your father reaching out to you and taking you in that financial trouble that you're in, saying, why did you doubt me? Why did you run ahead of me? Why did you do this decision without me? It's his heart as a father. And he wants to, the scripture says he got back into the boat with Peter, and that's often Jesus. He puts on our skin. He puts on our shoes and he walks with us. He gets back into the boat with Peter And Jesus will do the same thing for you. He will get into your shoes with you. He's put on your skin. He wants to be with you in that situation so that he can take you out. Secondly, for those who have been hurt for stepping out by being bold, but not sure if it was the Lord that spoke to you to do that thing or to say that thing. And thirdly, for those who mistrust Papa's voice or mistrust the journey of hearing his voice. And like I said, if you just feel like you want to come forward and there's something happening but you can't articulate it, we invite you to come forward. We want to spend time with you. We want to pray with you. And your Father's got you. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We don't know everything, but let us come to the one who does know everything. Humble ourselves. That is the fear of the Lord. So I invite you, we invite you, come forward. At this stage, I'll also close the service. So be blessed as you go out. Walk by faith. Not only by sight, but by faith. Amen.